Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Fire small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. And there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Welcome back. It's 34 After. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. It's always a pleasure, especially as we do this on our 9th anniversary week. And, of course, we couldn't possibly have our 9th anniversary week without our good friend Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, welcome back.
Thanks, Jim. How are you?
I'm excellent.
And happy anniversary. I can't believe 9 years.
Thank you. How about
it? It only
that?
Feels like about 8.
Well, I know, but you're coming up on your 8th anniversary with
us. That's right.
In
the right.
1st of January.
Yeah.
Something like. By the way, folks, Joan, before we go any further, I have to say happy birthday to Oklahoma. On this day in 1907, Oklahoma became the 46th state. Does that surprise you that Oklahoma didn't become a state until the 20th century?
Wow. It only beat out
a couple of others. It was still a territory in the 20s. It's hard to believe that we had territories inside of our continental country into the 20th century.
Well, and I guess, didn't Hawaii only become a state maybe 50 years ago?
Oh, yeah. Hawaii and Alaska in the same year in about 1959 or 6 or 8 or something like that.
Yeah.
I remember those. I remember when the flags changed. I was in elementary. I know, you weren't born then, but I remember elementary school when the flags changed. They had to come up with a 49th
flag. That's more stars.
Flag,
yeah.
And then they had to come up with a 50th one. I actually remember seeing a 49-star flag.
Wow.
How about that?
Be rare.
That is rare. Yeah. Not too many people remember that.
Yeah.
Anyway, happy birthday, Oklahoma. Joan, we've got some as my friend Ivan Meisner would say, I think it's Mr. Toad's wild ride up in Washington these days, isn't it?
Oh, no question about it.
And the Democrats are having a little difficulty getting their cornflakes together, aren't they?
Yes, there is. Now, the speaker is pretty much assured that will be Nancy Pelosi of California, but there's a battle for the number two position between Steny Hoyer, who is the current minority leader, I believe, and, that's not true. He's the second in command to Nancy Pelosi, who's the minority leader currently.
Right.
Anyway, the battle is between Steny Hoyer and Jack Murtha.
Mm-hmm. The infamous Jack Murtha.
Yes.
The abscam, infamous abscam Jack Murtha.
Right.
The infamous get our troops out right now, cut and run Jack Murtha. That guy.
Well, okay, if you want to put it that way.
Well, that's the reason for a lot of the controversy. I don't mean to be pejorative about it. I'm just saying that those are the issues that are on the table for him that a lot of people are objecting about.
Well, I think the issue is, at least for us inside the Beltway people, is not that. The issue is that Nancy Pelosi said she would stay out of this fight.
Yeah.
And didn't, and they don't understand really why she's backing. Well, I mean, they understand why she's backing Murtha, because she and Hoyer don't get along.
And because Murtha backed her at one point.
Well, I guess that's why, right.
Yeah.
But people are surprised that she would inject herself so personally in this, into a race that some people say she really can't win. Either way, she's going to lose.
Maybe she just likes a good fight.
She might.
She's
That's
a scrapper.
Possible. She is.
She's wiry, isn't she?
I guess. Sure.
I wonder if the Democrats are going to wind up with a little buyer's remorse with the new speaker. What do you think?
I don't know. I think it remains to be seen. I'll be curious to see how this turns out. I think it's today.
Well, you know, all women in politics are looking at her now, and she's got some pretty big expectations to fill, doesn't she?
Oh, you mean as the first woman speaker?
As the first woman, yeah. I mean, she needs to, for women in politics, she needs to do a good job up there, doesn't she? I mean, she needs to come. She needs to have a good experience and be successful. If I were a woman in politics, I think that's what I would think.
Well,
Republican or Democrat.
Women have the same rights to screw up as men do.
I agree. Am I about to get into trouble here, Joan? Have I wondered?
You mean she has to be twice as good because she's a woman?
Okay. No, I'm just saying that as the first woman, that you know, it's, if I were, all I'm saying is if I were a woman in politics, I would be rooting for her even if I were a Republican, because I would want to it to be seen beyond the shadow of a doubt that there's, that a woman could do this job.
Oh, you dug yourself out of that very well.
Yeah. Listen, yeah. I'm a married man. I know how to do
this. Yeah, a third or fourth try. You finally got it. Good.
Thanks for giving me the extra time there, Joan. Well, are we going to have gridlock for 2 years, Joan? That's what Kiplinger asked this week.
Well, we're not completely. We're saying there will be a mix. There will be some gridlock, but there will also be some cooperation on key issues.
I like gridlock in many cases.
Gridlock, keeps the Republic safe, right?
Gridlock, there's no, you said it correctly. In many cases, gridlock is the best thing that ever happened to America and maybe even the world. But in some areas, not. And we're going to talk about those areas when we come back after these messages with our good friend Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editor. Stay with us. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Joan Pride is our guest, and their website is Kiplinger.com. I encourage you to check out their website and use it to your advantage. Don't forget their publications, the Kiplinger Letter, which is a weekly publication that I certainly use every week, and that's the weekly. And then there are three biweekly, the California, the Tax, and the Agriculture Letters, and then there's a magazine, and you got a phone number too, don't you, Joan?
We sure do. Our toll-free number, well, first, our magazine is Kiplinger's Personal Finance, and our toll-free number for any of our products is 800-544-0155.
I can't go any further, Joan, without reflecting on what happened here a couple of days ago on the show.
Okay.
We were treated to a national treasure.
Now, who would that
be? A witness to a century.
Yes.
He was supposed to be here in September to celebrate the Kiplinger anniversary, the 83rd anniversary, and his own 88th birthday, incredibly.
Yes.
But he was ill. He didn't feel well, and so we weren't able to do it. And folks,
just a little touch on the
when mind, I'm telling you, when I'm telling you he was ill, I don't want you to think, oh, yeah, the old guy got sick. No, I mean, he got sick like you and I would get sick. That's it. I mean, there was nothing more than that. This is ramrod straight, GQ handsome, yep. voice like that I would kill to have his voice, Mr. Austin Kiplinger,
right.
Witness to a century, national treasure. I wouldn't take anything, Joan, for knowing him and having him be part of our show.
Oh, that, I agree with that.
And you know, he's done this show every year now for 8 years. He actually, do you know he was actually on the show before you were?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's as it should be.
He preceded you.
Yeah. Wow.
Anyway, folks, please go back and listen to that interview. I'm telling you, you just... If you should happen to be so lucky, you get to know Austin Kiplinger.
And I have the privilege of seeing him from time to time.
And I'm jealous of you every day because I know you're so close to him. What a wonderful American. What a great patriot. What a great human being. Joan, let's get back to what's going to happen this year or the next 2 years in Congress. What about compromises? Is there going to be very much of that? You know, the Democrats went over to the White House and they held hands and sang Kumbaya and what's going to happen now?
Well, one of the things that we think they're going to compromise on is immigration legislation. And it will go beyond just, you know, building fences to trying to tackle the problem of illegal immigrants in terms of possibly a guest worker program.
Mm-hmm. Well, immigration is the big, isn't that kind of where the big thing that they're going to try to show the American people that they've got some similarities and some synergy?
Well, that's what the pundits say is going to happen. I'll be curious to see how this really shakes out, though, because I think you have quite a number of people in Congress who don't agree with this idea of a guest worker program. So I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
A Republican, you have no qualms about bucking the president if you so choose to.
Yeah. Yeah, he's, at this point in time, from the Republican standpoint, he's dispensable in a way, isn't he?
Well, it's going to be hard for him to be able to lead and keep, you know, if there's something he wants to get through Congress that may be controversial, he's going to have to work pretty hard to keep his party in line to get it through.
In some ways, in several ways perhaps, he's potentially damaged goods for the 2008 election. There are a lot of things that could happen in between now and 08 where he could get redeemed.
True.
But right now, this last election was a referendum on him.
Yes.
And I hate to say this, but, and I say it with all due respect, Joan, and if you ever wondered if I was intellectually honest, you know it now, he could be the loneliest man in Washington over the next couple of years. What do you think?
It's possible, sure.
And I hope that doesn't happen. I hope hope things turn around in areas, especially like Iraq, where he can redeem his record a little bit. Joan, let's talk about one of the things that's going to happen for sure, I think. I predicted this already. Minimum wage.
Yes, we don't have another hour, Jim.
The Republicans will roll on. They'll roll over on this one.
Yes.
And Joan, I made a point this week that you haven't heard me make before that I think is important.
Okay.
Every young person we've hired, and in the last 2 or 3 years, we've hired 3 or 4. Either full time, part time, or as an intern, and we paid them. Every one of those, the reason we hired them, even though they're young people, they're kids.
Right.
They know technology. They knew things that we needed them to do.
Right.
We've never paid any of them minimum wage. I think even the intern that we didn't have to pay, I think we even paid him more than minimum wage. Because he had technology, he had skills that we needed that, in my opinion, made him worth more, made him be more valuable than somebody who had no skills. I mean, minimum wage is for no-skill people,
mm-hmm.
not for people with some skills.
Yeah.
And so I just think that that's another argument against minimum wage, are these young people who are coming to the marketplace today, they may not know anything about the business they're being hired into, but they come into the business with skills.
And skills that some of us older folks don't have.
A friend, our guy, Ken Lebo, just told us the new term for kids like that is digital native. There's one to write down. That'll be on the test.
Boy, that's true.
By the way, folks, that will be on the test. Joan, here's an interesting thing that Charlie Rangel is talking about, and that's the alternative minimum tax.
Yes. And it's also something that the incoming Senate Finance Committee Chairman Max Baucus is talking about, too. Something's going to have to be done because the way the alternative minimum tax is structured, it's catching more and more middle-income people that it was never supposed to hit.
Right. But, Joan, here's the difference between the Democrats reforming alternative minimum tax and the Republicans reforming it, which the Republicans never did. But if they had done it, they would have abolished it, because Republicans will abolish taxes if they can.
But they
Democrats,
didn't.
I know they didn't, but they should have. But Democrats won't. You can mark my word, when they do something with alternative minimum tax.
Well, I'll tell you why they won't when we come back.
Okay, we're going to do that right after these messages. Joan Pride is our guest, folks, celebrating 9 years of the Small Business Advocate Show. Stay with us.
It'll take time, I know it. But
happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind. Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind.
Welcome back. It's 7 till the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. And let me remind you, tomorrow, Steve Forbes, right here on the Small Business Advocate Show. Looking forward to getting Steve back on the show. And a bunch of other good folks will be here. Oh, also, Steve Preston, Joan Pride. Steve Preston, the new SBA administrator.
Oh, good.
Will be back on the show for another visit. So looking forward to getting the two Steves on the show and a couple of other folks.
It'll be
good to get them back on. Okay, Joan. Were finishing your thought. I was saying that the Republicans like to abolish tax devices like ultimate minimum tax, which they didn't do, and they should have. But Democrats are only going to modify it. That's my prediction.
Well, We'll never know, but had the Republicans even tried to reform the AMT, which they didn't try to do, they would have found that the cost would be prohibitively expensive to repeal it. Repealing it is unbelievably expensive.
What is it, $50 billion?
I don't know what the number is, but I know it's tremendous.
In fact, it's $50 billion.
I think there is some stat out there that says it would be cheaper to repeal the regular income tax and just leave the AMT.
Now that is sick.
Yeah, I know.
That is perverse, isn't it?
Yeah.
But you know what? I'll take that.
Yeah,
I'm gonna ask Steve Forbes that tomorrow because he's a big flat taxer. He's a guy who wants to reform our tax. He wants to scrap the whole code and start out with a flat tax.
I'm curious to know what he thinks about that. Yeah,
I'll try to remember to ask him that question.
Please do. Yeah.
Well, you know, it'll be interesting to see. I think. Let me put it this way, folks. I'm going to predict that whatever happens in the next Congress. One thing that will happen, if there's anything that's done with the tax code, it will cost us more. That's my prediction. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know how they're going to do it. But if the Democrats are in charge in the next 2 years, we will pay more taxes.
Well, we'll see.
And your payroll will go up, too, ladies and gentlemen. I predict that, too. That didn't take a genius to figure that out either, by the way. Joan, let's talk about you got a little note in here about the Small Business Administration. Are they going to be more generous to the SBA than Bush was?
Well, yes, because, you know, Bush took away the SBA's appropriation and made it run solely on user fees. So, and the Democrats have said they want to try to reduce user fees and also try to save and keep some of the programs that the Bush administration has tried to abolish, such as the microloan program.
Mm-hmm. Well, some of those things are can be taken out of context because, I mean, I don't know about, and I'll ask Steve about this tomorrow. He'll tell us what's going on with that, Steve Preston, the SBA administrator. But I do know that that some of those microloan programs, Joan, were not being used very well much. I mean, people weren't using them much. And some of those were scrapped not because they weren't, they shouldn't be funded.
There is a microloan program that's alive and well that the Bush administration has proposed abolishing every year, but Congress has blocked that.
Right. Well, some of those things have not been subscribed to all that much. That's what I've been told by the SBA folks is that there wasn't enough demand in some elements of those microloan programs that and again I'll ask Steve about that tomorrow. That'll be interesting to find out about. Joan, one of the things that I don't know that it's on your list here that I wanted to mention quickly is John Bolton.
Okay.
The ambassador to the UN. The Democrats are going to inform. They're not going to confirm him, are they?
Well, I think the president is trying to get him through now.
Yeah.
During the lame duck session, is that right?
Right. I hope he does. I hope he does. We need his aggressiveness. We need his forcefulness in the UN. The UN is a horribly dysfunctional group of people, a corrupt cesspool I couldn't be more disgusted with them. And we need somebody like that, Joan, I think.
And what's the problem with getting him through now? Because they would need a supermajority?
I don't know. I'm not sure about that. But I know it was a recess appointment, right?
I believe so.
Yeah, but we need him. Joan, last thoughts before we go. Anything else that you want to mention? Offshore drilling, what do you think?
Oh, offshore drilling. Well, let's see. We think it's possible, but there are going to be some conditions on that. And the big thing, though, is going to be a big fight about the Democrats trying to repeal tax breaks to the oil industry. I'm really not sure which way that's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be interesting to watch.
This will be, you know what, Joan? Whether you like it or not, what's been happening, it's going to be an interesting 2 years, isn't it?
That's a journalist always loves that.
Especially if you love politics. And as the Chinese proverb went, the old curse, may you live in interesting times. We certainly do. Hey, Joan, thank you for being here. Good job.
Hey,
today.
Happy anniversary, Jim.
Thank you, Joan. See you later.
Bye.
Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And as you know, this program is for you. I'll see you tomorrow.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.